This Sunday in Hartford, Connecticut, it is going to be one of the largest veterans salutes in the country, the Connecticut Veterans Day Parade. And now on the Dave Ranelli Show, my guest is the man who has been named the Grand Marshal of the parade, Ridgefield resident Paul Buddy Buca, although I'm sorry, I'm supposed to call you Bud, who is a Vietnam veteran, also recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor, an advisor to the Obama administration on veterans affairs. Frankly, Bud, you're probably the most distinguished guest I've ever had, and perhaps too distinguished for this radio program.
That's way over exaggeration. If you had my men, or you had your father, very candidly, Brian Ranelli, and had him speaking, that would be a distinguished visitor. I'm just a guy trying to make a buck and pay back the veterans for all that they did for me.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and congratulations on the honor of being named Grand Marshal.
Thank you so much.
Now, what are we going to expect for this parade? It looks like a big one, some 4,000 marchers expected.
Correct, 4,000. And just to give you a measure, New York City aspires to get to 2,000 to 3,000. So this is a huge parade, and the idea is for all of us, each of us, to take a moment from our day, a bit of time, and if you look at all the assets any one of us possesses in life, time is the only thing that's truly finite. And so for us to take some of our time and devote it to the celebration of others and a way of saying thank you for those who have put service before self, it's really a profound gift and a truly sincere recognition, far more than taking advertisements out and all that, just taking time from your day to go salute those and say thank you to those who've served us. That's the purpose of the parade, and I think the state of Connecticut and Hartford in particular is doing a wondrous thing by making this parade as large as it is.
It will be the 10th anniversary of the Connecticut Veterans Day Parade. This is also the 35th anniversary since the last American troops left Vietnam. And so this year there will be a special salute to the men and women who served on active duty there, such as yourself.
Yes, and your father.
And my father. That's right.
And I veterans go back in this country, go back to the anonymous life of raising families and performing their jobs and being part of a community. And there was a time 10 years ago when Veterans Day parades were being canceled for lack of interest across the country. And the fact that Hartford's has, and the state of Connecticut has grown to be this large, I think it's very special. And I think it will mean the world to the Vietnam veterans who have so much to offer today in understanding the impact of a prolonged war. I mean, the Vietnam War was the longest war in the nation's history, soon, regrettably, I believe, to be surpassed by the Afghan War, which looks like it's heading to exceed the Vietnam War in length. And therefore, there's much that can be learned as to the impact of combat over a prolonged period on the individual and the individual's families. So I think it's a very important thing that we reach back to Vietnam, not only to say thank you, but to ask what we can learn from it.
The parade is happening this Sunday in Hartford. There's a website for those who may be interested in learning more information, and that is CT Veterans Day Parade, ctveteransdayparade.org. My guest is retired Army Captain Paul Bud Buca of Ridgefield, who is a Vietnam veteran, a recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. And that's one area that I would like to touch on in the next segment of the interview. We'll talk more about the parade and some of the interesting features, and also your experiences in March of 1968, which should prove to be a very compelling story. It is 8:42 at WLAD.
I'm Dr. Mel.
In City Center Danbury, it's 37 degrees. 8:48, you're listening to The Dave Ranelli Show. My guest is Ridgefield resident, retired Army Captain Bud Buca, who is a Vietnam veteran, a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient for bravery in his actions in the Vietnam War, and who has also just been named the Grand Marshal of the Connecticut Veterans Day Parade, happening this Sunday in Hartford. Let's go back to 1968, March 1968. Could you talk about the events which led to you receiving the Congressional Medal of Honor?
Well, I would like to just, I received the medal on behalf of my men. It really belongs to them more than it does to me, and I'm honored to wear it on their behalf. We were in combat. It was the post-Tet counteroffensive We had been the ones charged with securing the headquarters down in Saigon. They picked us up on helicopters and said, you're going to be the point element of the counteroffensive, which meant that we were going to be moving ahead of the main force, and we would be out of range of artillery, meaning we were reliant totally on air power for our indirect fire support. And we were inserted in LZ and made contact immediately, and for 3 days, as the NVA VC force we were in contact with kept moving out of our range, we would keep moving to re-engage, and we chose to move at night. We didn't do fire bases and things like that. I always had an aversion for the idea that we would dig in and put concertina wire up and say, here we are, come attack us, because if there were more of them than there were of us, that was not a good tactic. So we moved at night, and we stayed in constant contact with the force until we paused for a resupply of water and had medevac of some of our wounded, leaving us with about 89 people. And we then pressed into the jungle just at sunset, and within a half hour, one of the men in the point long-range patrol group asked could he have permission to recon by fire, because he saw water carriers, food carriers, and people carrying weapons moving in a very disorganized way, and he was uncertain as to what he was in. He fired about 6 rounds, and the entire mountain in front of us opened up. The first element was pinned down. My medic, Doc Moore from Brooklyn, said, sir, I'll see you later, I've got to go, and he ran up front. Unfortunately, he was killed while performing 4 tracheotomies to men who were injured. And that's a measure of the kind of person who anonymously serves in our military. He was a Spec 5 enlisted medic who was capable of performing the most complex and difficult triage while under fire. I, in fact, recommended Doc for the Medal of Honor, and they decided to give him the Distinguished Service Cross, our nation's second highest award. And then the rest of the evening was we had an element cutoff whose spokesman was a Cheshire, Connecticut Nipmunk Indian named Calvin Heath, who I knew at 17, who after 34 years I saw him again when he was close to 50. But I ordered Calvin to turn off his radio and tell everybody to feign death, and we were going to get him in the morning because there was absolutely no way for us to get to them. And we, what the story is as simple as we battled all night long against what was estimated to be a force of 500 to 1,200 NVA VC regulars. The reason we have a fairly good idea of how big the force was is there were 10 of my men cut off, 5 of whom survived the evening. They were cut off and behind enemy lines. So they saw who they were. They saw the patches on the shoulders of the forces, so we knew they weren't local VC, but regular VC units, and estimated to be a battalion size of NVA and a reinforced battalion if you added the VC regulars. And the object was to see what we could do to survive the evening and not let on to the fact that there were only 89 of us in this rather small perimeter. Because had the enemy perceived that to be what we were, I have no doubt in my mind they would have just overrun us. So the idea was to not fire weapons from any point other than me, have everybody throwing grenades on a random interval as far as they could into the jungle, so that they were like exploding bombs around our small perimeter, bring in medevac to get rid of anybody who was wounded so that they could immediately be getting care. And one of the humorous things, one of the medevacs came in, it was always my brigade commander using his own command chopper to medevac people because no one else wanted to come in. The fire was so thick. And one time he kicked out the brigade Catholic padre, as we called him, the Catholic priest, and I asked him, what are you doing here? And he says, the colonel suggested I administer the last rites to those of you interested in it. I said, we're not ready for that, so pick up a weapon. And that padre, that lieutenant colonel, Catholic priest, picked up a rifle and went to the perimeter. But that was the spirit of that evening. And then when daybreak came, we realized that we had made it through the evening, that we had literally held our own and inflicted tremendous damage on the enemy. but more importantly to me, a group of young men from disparate parts of America, all known that they would be drafted if they did not volunteer, volunteered for the airborne to be paratroopers, came together in Vietnam and performed in a way that was truly remarkable. Their backgrounds, 80% of the unit had stockade time, because I was the last unit filled in the major buildups. I mean, they took them from anywhere they could find them. So I had a few guys who were clerks who had been speechwriters and pistol team captains and things like that. And then the vast majority had come from stockades or had been determined to be unwanted by other units, and they were transferred to us. So by the societal measures, they were losers, as was I. I'd come from the Stanford Business School, teaching scuba and surfing in the meantime. And so they had me, which wasn't a winner. I had them, which by societal norms wasn't a winner either. But they performed in a way that eventually made them one of, if not the, most highly decorated unit in the entire Vietnam War. And the interesting part of that is that these kids, that society had judged to be losers, they were given the nickname of the clerks and the jerks by many of the media, went on to prove that they were truly extraordinary. And it reminds us each day that everyone we meet has within them the potential to do extraordinary things if that mysterious confluence of circumstances and time so conspires. And that is what this parade's about. It's to recognize that potential that each person carries with them. And oftentimes, unfortunately, it takes man's greatest inhumanity demand, war, to bring out that potential. But nonetheless, as the potential exists, the person is worthy of our respect and our honor. And that is what this parade's about. And we hope people will leave, not saying, gee, aren't the veterans great, but all the kids will look up at mom and dad or their uncle, whoever they're saying, and say, mom, dad, you really are great, and so am I. I have the potential to do something, too, if I'm called upon. And maybe we'll get a greater respect for one another. And if that's the price of war, that our society becomes more respectful of each of us and more willing to accept the potential that exists in each person we meet, regardless of their ethnicity, socioeconomic standing, education, whatever, just as my men proved that they had the ability to literally challenge destiny and change it, then this parade will have achieved a remarkable objective.
And it is so easy for you to pay your respects. Just go to the parade this Sunday in Hartford, the Connecticut Veterans Day Parade, 10th anniversary, with a special salute to Vietnam veterans. ConnecticutVeteransDayParade.org, the website with all the information that you'll need. My guest has been Bud Buca from Ridgefield. I really want to thank you for sharing your stories and your time, a very compelling account and very heartwarming thoughts as well. And I really want to thank you for coming on.
My privilege, Dave.